Blog Talk Radio. I hope y'all hear me clearly. Whew, what a day, what a day. Y'all hear me good? Y'all hear me good? Text me, let me know, send me a smoke signal, something. Peace and love, love and peace and light, joy, happiness, all that wonderful stuff. How's everybody doing out there? I hope everybody had a really beautiful weekend and a great week. Last week, I must give a super shout out to one of my best friends, Miss Cherie Haynes. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sugar Pie. That's one of my bridesmaids from my fabulous wedding. But yeah, it's her birthday. And it's my girl Karen Garrett's birthday. And anybody else's birthday, happy birthday. Okay, happy, 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 joy, joy. I wish you love and light and blessings and so much happiness, everybody who is celebrating a birthday, all the Aries in the house. I know it's going to be Taurus season shortly, but right now we are in the head, honey. We are in Aries, and so much has been going on. Really, really deep, but a lot of stuff has been happening. So let me do my best to try to get into it. You know, Mother took her notes and what have you. I didn't get my glasses, though. I should have gotten my glasses, so hopefully I won't rock myself out. But the first thing that I want to start off with is congratulations to Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who has been confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. She is now a justice of the court. She will take over when the justice who's retiring leaves, but she's been confirmed. And as I mentioned in my last episode, I just thought it was so disgraceful what she had to go through in her confirmation hearing. In the history of the Supreme Court confirmation hearings, we have never seen such a spectacle of racism, ridiculousness, and just out of the box. It's crazy, out of the box. I mean, bless this sister and her family. You know, I'm not gung-ho on politics, but I do recognize and realize that this is something that's pretty big, that you have an African-American female as the next Supreme Court justice. We'll see what happens, because ultimately the majority of the SCOTUSes right now are all conservative. So some of them would have to die or retire in order for us to have a more liberal court, if you will. But who knows? Time will tell. We will see. I'm happy we still have Justice Roberts. Justice Sotomayor is still there. But as far as Kavanaugh, Thomas, Amy Coney Barrett, and all of them, no, they're very, very conservative. So we'll see what happens. But she'll be up in there. So they're going to have a black face with that black robe, honey. So that's historical. I want us to take a moment and look at our legislators, like look at our legislative body as far as things go. Because a lot of times we don't do that. We just see some faces. We see a whole lot of old people. And for the life of me, I keep telling y'all, if you're going to participate in the process, can you vote some of them old white men out? Come on now. Some of y'all, a lot of y'all want to run for stuff. Run. Get rid of them. Okay? I'm using my vernacular tonight. Bitch McConnell, yes, I said it, and Lindsey Graham crackers, they got to go. They have to go. They're not helping. Okay? They smile on your face behind your back, and then when it comes time for something to happen, they're absent or they want to throw dirt on you or whatever. Excuse me. Lindsey Graham used to praise Judge Brown Jackson. He really liked her until Joe Biden decides to make her a Supreme Court justice, then all of a sudden he's going to vote no. I don't like the way she answered her questions. I this, I that, whatever. Okay, so let's go into the crackaliciousness of Congress. Congress is 77% white. 73% of them are men, and 83% of the entire judiciary is white. Now, we are a very colorful country. But unfortunately, we are still at a place and space where the elected officials do not match the demographics of the country, not at large, okay, because America is not 77% white. Can we go there real quick? It's really not. All right? It's not 83% white. It's not 83% male. Like, come on. All right? So think about these things as we move and do, but pay attention, because these same people who, for whatever reason, stay in office for a damn near lifetime. I mean, at this point, McConnell and Graham are like Supreme Court justices to me. They have been in office since the dawn of time and ain't done nothing but take our money. I have not seen either one of them pass any major bill or any wonderful act for humanity in this country. These crackers are just getting paid. This is ridiculous. So think about that, and let's see what we can do, as I said, moving forward, to make these kinds of changes, because, get out of here. Get out of here. These people are just taking money and making bad decisions. They're not doing anything for you or myself. They're trying to keep us back in 1962. How about no? All right, just like Gregory Porter's song, 1960, what? 1960, you, 19, what? Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. What? Things will begin to catch fire when people don't get their way. We already know that. I'm like, let's get some people in office so we don't have to burn the town down. Let's get some of the right-minded individuals in these particular positions so we can really change our world for the better. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir, but y'all know where I'm coming from. All right? Mind you, the 2020 elections had the largest voter turnout for Moors, a.k.a. black people, in history. We are the reason why Joseph Robinette Biden is in office. Now, I did not vote for him. I told you I can't vote for evil people. But the fact that a lot of y'all do get caught up in the process and you believe that your vote is fantastic, and I told you your vote only really makes a difference when it comes to your local elections, all right? They'll use us for what they need to use us for national elections, presidential elections, things like that. But trust me, they're not really trying to let us have the power like that. You got to wake up with that one. They're not really trying to let us rock out. And the choices we had were horrible anyway. We've had very horrible choices lately. And so I can't pick a lesser of two evils, because an evil is an evil, and I'm not checking your box. But we've got, if we want to change things and we want to see betterment in our country, we got to make some moves, y'all. Okay, we got to make moves, and I'm not talking about storming capitals and peeing on people's desks. I'm talking about making real power moves where we are economically sound, where we're coming together, where we're creating businesses for each other, where we're running our own schools for our children so we don't have to really worry so much about a critical race theory. We can make sure our children are getting the best education that they can get and not being lied to. There are a lot of things that have got to fall apart, and we're in that era of the falling apart. Okay, as I said in my initial post, for Blog Talk in the Neo Nation Network, I was like, ooh, the age of Aquarius behavior is definitely popping off, okay? The beginning of the age of Aquarius is rough. It is not a smooth sailing like you're riding a lovely little sled down a rainbow. That is not what it's about. So it's going to be a little rough and a little herky-jerky, but like I said, if you keep your head on a swivel, then perhaps you will be abreast, if you will. Y'all feel me? Because we have, in order for us to make any kind of changes that we're interested in making, baby, we have to educate each other. We have to empower each other. We have to educate and empower our children and our next generation, because they're the ones that are going to be running more than likely. So we got work to do, okay? Think about it. I have forgotten to mention this in the last episode, but on March 29th of 2022, President Biden actually signed the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. This has been on the books for so long, and finally it has been signed. Now, I know there was a lot of pressure for it. They're trying to make him look like he's this amazing Negro savior. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there with that like that for him. I really don't care so much about him, because I think he's shady and does a lot of stuff under the table, which I'll be talking about a little bit later. It seems to run in the family. But finally, after all these decades of cruelty by way of racism and lynching and all kind of stuff, lynching is finally illegal. Yay. I'm like, thanks. Thank you. Okay. Long overdue. So long overdue is hard for me to get jubilant. But I'm glad that it has been signed. And hopefully it will stay that way and we will not get another president like Donald Trump who will get rid of all these other former acts that have already been signed by other presidents. Hopefully as we move forward, something a little bit better, okay? But like I said, if you're sick and tired of it and you want to get up in it so you can change it, do that. Because we definitely need some changes. I am not the politician, so Mother will not be running. But I do look forward to seeing a better outlook for all of us, because this is ridiculous. Mm-mm. Okay, so moving forward. Whoopi Goldberg was back in the spotlight for a second. I know you're like, really? But it wasn't anything bad. It was bad for her. But what's interesting is, did y'all know that the Tesla cars do not have or come with a spare tire? Did y'all know that? That's crazy to me. Who invents and creates a car with no spare tire? Apparently, Whoopi got a flat out in the middle of nowhere, and she was stranded for over 5 hours in the cold, waiting for Tesla's roadside service to get to her. 5 hours. Now, I also didn't know that if you own a Tesla vehicle, AAA cannot come for you. You know, good old AAA. Come give you a battery jump, a tow, fix your flat, whatever. Good old AAA. AAA cannot come for you if you have a Tesla vehicle. You are solely beholding to the Tesla roadside service individuals, of which I would definitely bet to say aren't a whole lot, because it took her 5 hours. Now, what's interesting to me again, Teslas are not an inexpensive vehicle. They didn't run on being economically affordable or anything like that. So Teslas cost a lot of money. I know they vary, but like one of the compact, I think, is like 50 grand. People pay up to $100,000+ for these Tesla cars. And I'm like, I think it's a bunch of BS. We're going to go there real quick. And I say that because we are not a fully electronic pumping station, quote-unquote, type of nation just yet. All right? We're slaves to gas. We are hose to gas here. And even if you have a hybrid vehicle, which could take gas or use electric, I think that that's a bit smarter. But to have a solely electrical-powered vehicle, to me, is dumb. I'm sorry. I think it's stupid. Because I've traveled across this nation. Honey, there are places and spaces where there is nothing. And maybe you're lucky if you do find that little rickety behind gas station to get you some gas. Real talk. I remember one night, Honey, Lish, and I were coming home from Jersey, and it was late, and of course it's dark on the highway, and we're running out of gas. The light came on, and I was like, uh-oh, and he's like, uh-oh, and I was like, ah, and all of a sudden we got real quiet. I'm starting to pray. I'm like, all right, I know that, you know, the most gracious creator and my parents and his father and brother and everybody who we love in our ancestral realm is going to watch over us to make sure we can get home okay. But we actually got lucky, you know, we were able to make it to a gas station. But please believe me if I tell you, if we had an electronic vehicle, oh, we'd have been ass out. We'd have been done. It'd have been a wrap. Night-night. We'd have been sleeping on the highway in the cold, maybe froze to death, God knows what, but we wouldn't have made it. We would not have made it because on our journey, there are maybe two different places where there are charging stations, but, of course, they're nowhere near as plentiful as gas stations. And so if you're interested in going the electric way, I suggest you do a hybrid vehicle and not a solely electric vehicle. We are not there yet. I'm sorry, we're not there. When you're driving through those mountains or you're driving through the desert or you're going through whatever, honey, you need to be able to power your car. You do not want to become a victim by whether a human or an animal. You don't want to succumb to the weather, whether it's 102 degrees or minus 2 degrees. You want to have the power to go. And so I think that it's interesting that, you know, everybody got all hyped up with Elon Musk, and I don't know, I don't trust someone that much that has a last name of Musk, but that's just me, because I know what Musk is, and I don't know why your last name would be Musk. But anyway, I don't know what that's about in the family. I don't. Anyway, everybody got so excited about these Teslas, and I was like, nah, I don't think so. Plus, you have to buy the portal if you want to be able to charge your car from your house. That's a few extra $100. And then how much is that going to raise up your electric bill? Even though, okay, yeah, you're not getting gas, so you've got to make those equations work out for you. But I just, it's risky to me. And the fact that if I get stuck everything under the sun, that your roadside assistance individuals will get to me. Case in point, the I-81 pileup that occurred 2 weeks ago, very horrible crash. It had, I covered this in the last show, but it had something like 40 cars and 30 trucks, and I mean, it was just a mess because of a squall, a snow squall that had just come up, and people were still driving a little too fast, and they just all crashed into each other. Out of all those cars in that pileup, we're talking about at least 75 to 80 cars, vehicles, let's just say vehicles in total, which include the 18-wheelers, everything. All but the Tesla cars were able to be removed immediately from the highway. The reason why it took so long for the highway to reopen was because they couldn't clear the Tesla cars, and there were a bunch of Tesla cars in the pileup. So nobody else could move them. So they just sat there until they could be removed and then the highway could be reopened. This is not a good thing, family. I don't see how this is beneficial. I mean, I get the electric car thing, you know, but fossil fuel is still fossil fuel. Electricity, unless it's clean, I don't see where you're making that much of a difference when it comes to, I mean, yeah, you're not emitting carbon monoxide and what have you that much, and, you know, because it's an electrical car, it's not a combustion engine, blah, blah, blah. But there's still something that just doesn't sound right. And I used to make jokes like, okay, well, how come they didn't just come out with a solar car? Oh, because we don't know how to monetize the sun. Imagine if they had solar panels on the tops of buses and trains and trucks and other vehicles, and that you could be powered up by the sun as well as you move in the world and do what you need to do. But we can't monetize the sun. We haven't figured that out. They came out with a really fly solar car several years ago. It was banging. You could, like, design your own car. It was beautiful. But I have yet to see that come to fruition. Because, you know, everybody got to make money, which is so sickening to me. You know, if they could, they would charge us for air if they could. Real talk. So Whoopi was stranded. She was upset. She was frightened. She was cold. Okay. And I would push the envelope and say, I guess she gave a true test to those poise pads that she's always endorsing, because 5 hours my behind, sitting out in the middle of somewhere by myself for five. No. I think there was one other person in the car with her, but still, I'm sure it was a very harrowing experience. Who wants to be stuck somewhere for 5 hours in the cold? No one. So I don't know. Now, I had to go a little deeper. According to Hot Cars magazine, an article written by Kenny Norman talks about how Tesla does lack certain aspects, traditional aspects that vehicles have, one of those aspects being the spare tire. That's right. Teslas don't have a feature that has been standard on cards for decades. There are a few reasons behind this, okay? So why you would leave out the spare tire, I don't know, but they're saying, oh, such as practicality, weight, lack of use, and free roadside assistance, plus inefficient labor. What? First of all, a spare tire is a spare tire. I don't know what kind of tires they got on Teslas, and hopefully they're not that ridiculous, but the last time I checked, you got between 5 and 6 lug nuts that you got to get off, and you get the tire off, and then you put another one on, and then you make it happen. Also, weight. I like a car that has weight. I don't like to be in a car that feels so light that you feel like you can just blow away if you go across the George Washington Bridge. Y'all feel me? You want a car with some weight. How much does a tire weigh? Not that much. I can carry it. So what are they talking about? Okay, so he goes on to say, in any case, the car maker has a solid rationale behind its decision to not include a vehicle staple in any of its models, and drivers don't really seem to mind the lack of a spare tire, nor do they seem to need it should they find themselves with a flat tire. Tesla's decision has proven both practical and successful to the point where other car manufacturers now seem to jump on the bandwagon. Check this out. I am not about to buy a car that doesn't have a spare. Period. I'm not going to do that. Okay? As risky and exciting as I'll go is a motorcycle, which I know has 2 wheels and generally does not have a spare. Okay, we know that. We're going to take our chances. Those are different tires. It's a different makeup. Everything's a little different. So, okay, I'll take my chances with the motorcycle. But with the 4-wheeled vehicle, I need all 4 wheels, and I need all 4 tires. And the probability of getting a flat is medium to high. It's not that damn low. It's not so low that, oh, we don't need this anymore. What? That makes no sense. So to me, Tesla's being cheap while charging y'all tens of thousands of dollars to get this vehicle. Whereas when you get a flat tire or if you have an issue on the road, you're going to be stuck out there until some Tesla road assistance people come and help you. Nah, I'll pass on that. Sorry, Elon. Okay, moving forward. I'm trying to make this happen. Where we at? All right, we're doing good. There is a very, very interesting slash frightening slash freaky slash weird slash evil cartoon character that has come out. Its name is Huggy Wuggy. It's a children's cartoon that ain't for your kids. Police in England are warning parents about this new cartoon gone viral called Huggy Wuggy. Sounds cute and innocent, but no. Coming from a popular video game called Poppy Playtime, which is a popular app that many children are all abuzz about, Huggy is the main character along with Mommy Longlegs and others. It's an eerie cartoon. A parent says, quote, I found this drawing in his bag. I said, what is this? And he said, oh, I was just drawing. Sheila Smith stated that her 8-year-old son gave her a scare when she found a picture he'd drawn of the monster after friends at school showed him videos they'd found online. At the top of the page, just above the drawing, her son had written, I'm coming for you. Follow me. He finally told me that the character told him that the parents had heard him, so they need to kill us, Smith said. She goes on to say, I had to see these videos for myself, and I found thousands where the character Huggy Wuggy bites off arms. There's a music video starring the character walking down dark hallways, has him singing the words, because I could just hug you here forever. Forever till you breathe your last breath, together, together. What? Some videos are from the game, but some likely the ones her son watched were created by others, showing an even darker side to Huggy Wuggy. To even discerning viewers, it's a little difficult figuring out where the videos came from and whether they're from the game or another creator. So police in England sent a warning to the parents to be aware of the videos. Since the name Huggy Wuggy sounds innocent enough, the videos most likely slipped past YouTube Kids restrictions and Smith's. Quote, I'm a strict mom, she said. Everything that goes on his tablet and on his phone has to go by me, and it still slipped through. After the police warning, Huggy Wuggy and Poppy Playtime videos are no longer available on YouTube Kids, but thousands still exist on regular YouTube and TikTok. Smith has warned other parents by posting a photograph of her son's drawing on Facebook. Poppy Playtime is currently the second most popular puzzle game in the Apple App Store. A reminder for all parents that just because a game or a video has a playful name, parents should still take a look for themselves and talk to your child about what games and videos their friends are watching because they'll probably see it too. According to Rolling Stone magazine, multiple and local news outlets, YouTube and TikTok are replete with videos featuring a character named Huggy Wuggy, a horrifying blue creature with razor-sharp teeth who kind of looks like a cross between Grover from Sesame Street and Slender and Forky, from Toy Story 4. These reports suggest that children are watching videos featuring Huggy Wuggy, which includes songs about him hugging people until you breathe your last breath and getting not-so-good ideas. Such videos are reportedly prompting children to reenact those videos on the playground by hugging each other extremely tightly and whispering gruesome lyrics to each other. Y'all better get your kids. All right. I said this before, and I know I talked about it in terms of EMF and radiation because I'm really anti-children with video games on computers and laptops and cell phones. I feel like children shouldn't have them and they shouldn't be exposed to these high levels of radiation because it's not healthy for them. But aside from that, because the laptop or the phone is a gateway to the world, parents have to be beyond cautious about what their children are looking at. I had a friend who let her child hold her phone for a long time. I'm like, why are you letting your child hold your phone that long? Like, first of all, the child doesn't need to even be dealing with the phone. The child needs to be doing some calligraphy, tracing letters, and working on some math problems. Why does the child have access to your phone? And then once you go in, you can look at anything. So you just let your child have your phone in their room while you're some other place in the house and they're just looking up God knows what. That's how they do get exposed to porn and all kind of other things and content that is not permissible for their age. Like, we got to think. And that's why I said before, stop giving your phones and tablets to your children to be a babysitter. Either give your child an assignment or something to do or a coloring book or another game that's tactile that they can play and you can see it. Okay? I'm not a firm believer in video games anyway, especially for small children. It's too much sensory bombardment, and then the real world becomes boring because the real world is not full of colors and excitements and bells and whistles and all these things and pressure for you to have to get to the next level. And I mean, yeah, there's pressure to get to the next level in life, but Super Mario Brothers is not behind you chasing you in real life. You know, we've got attention span disorder because we're just overly engrossed in these games. And everything is like, pew, 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 pew. It's fast. You know, regular life is not that fast. People are crashing. Everybody is moving too fast and doing too much at one time. And I think that we're over-electrified. We're not connected to nature. And a lot of people are trying to escape. Check that out. Not that you can't watch a show or a movie or whatever and take a moment. No, that's cool. I'm talking about the people who are overly engrossed in these things or playing games all day on their phone, whether it's Candy Crush or whatever, just playing. Not developing your mind, not enlightening yourself. You're definitely not getting knowledge of self in the process. So all you're going to do is keep your ass on skip. So, okay, when you die in however many years you die, you're coming back and you're going to be at the same space because you didn't evolve. I don't have time for that. I know that we're here to grow and to evolve and to become better people, to become better souls and spirits. So when we come back again, we're enlightened and we don't make the same mistakes. I understand that. So I deliberately do not engage in certain behaviors and certain forms of entertainment because I know that they're not for my betterment. And nowadays, as I have said before, and I'm going to say it again, we're in a space where a lot of what we consider to be entertainment is demonic. It is demonic. It is evil. It is wicked. It is bad. It is nasty. It is hellacious. And there is nothing good about that. Nothing. Okay? Everybody's talking about they don't want to go to hell, but you're going to play in hell and do hellish things. No. No. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay, moving forward. And just to back it up real quick, y'all, please, if you know of any child anywhere playing this Huggy Wuggy game or watching the Huggy Wuggy cartoon, stop it immediately. Share this with your friends who have small children. Share this with your friends who have grandchildren, other caretakers, whatever. Share it with teachers. Share it with the daycare center people. Share it. Because I looked at it, and the thing is freaky looking. Freaky, creepy, scary, evil, okay? Nothing fun about that. That was not Bugs Bunny. Sorry, no one. Okay? So protect your children. Protect your children. And stop over-electrifying them, please. Moving forward. I got three more helicopters falling out of the sky in the last 2 weeks. One in Texas, one in Pennsylvania just today, and another one in Australia, in Melbourne. So five people died in the crash in Melbourne, two people died in the one in Texas, and I think another two or three here. Now, remember when I talked about the FAA reaching out to the FCC about the 5G rollout, and they were begging them, please do not have any 5G towers anywhere near any airport, landing strip, or anything like that. Because the vibrations and the radiation alters the altimeters on the planes and helicopters. So when we start seeing planes and helicopters falling out the sky a lot, I think we need to pay attention. Just a little bit. Because, see, I'm going to get as much information as I can to bring it to you. I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to follow up. I'm going to research it. I'm going to look again. And so this is very frightening to me. You know, my husband and I are due to travel in the next couple of months, and I don't want to fly. I don't want to fly right now. Sorry. I'll drive 24 hours. I don't want to fly. I don't trust it. And that's just me. And I know planes are flying every day, all day, and that's beautiful. But I don't know. Something feels very unsettling. And again, don't think that these other individuals who legislate and seem to be leaders of our nation would ever really care about us. So, yeah, don't put your ass on the plane for it to crash into the ground. I'm not doing it. Not right now. I need some other things to change first. I really do. I haven't been on a plane since my mother's funeral. That was a while ago. So I'm not there. something is weird and suspicious. It doesn't feel right or smell right. And I'm going to stay on this particular story because I know it has relevance. And like I said before, when I was talking about the birds and the bees and what's going on with them and the trees and how sick the trees are with all this fungi and different things, I'm like, we have to pay attention. There's something not right. Who's to say high levels of radiation don't produce tree fungi? Who knows that? I got to look that up. I got, again, more research. But I'm seeing a correlation because even 10 years ago, the trees didn't look like this. They snapping and breaking and falling. Like, listen, we're talking about trees. Trees live hundreds of years. They're not doing well. And we're not that far from them. And we're not doing that well either. Well, please pay attention, okay? In the meantime, the January 6th Capitol rioters, it was found out that most of them were turned into the police and FBI by ex-girlfriends and skanks. Ex-lovers, girlfriends, whatever, who got dumped or whoever didn't like him for real, they're the ones that turn their behinds in. Okay, aside from pictures and stuff of them at the actual event. But, yeah, they were just called in like, oh, that's my boyfriend, Tommy. They're not together anymore, but that was him. I can confirm it. Like, yeah, baby, watch who you sleep with. Be careful out there. Ooh, I was like, all right. She's going to turn them in. Turn them in, honey. Now, note that technically domestic terrorism was slightly removed from the crime list around 10 years ago. They made a big thing about it, and then they kind of said, well, you know, they kind of pulled it back. So maybe that is why the January 6th folks seem to be getting lighter sentences, considering the infractions they committed. Because if you bring a Confederate flag into the Capitol building, if you defecate and urinate in senators' offices and you put cigarette butts out on their desks, which are antiques, by the way, go through their files, their paperwork, steal laptops, I mean, do all kind of stuff. To me, you should be under the jail. You should be under the prison. But they had a lot of support and help inside from several Republican congressional members. And so it makes it very difficult because I'm sure in some of those hearings and trials, they're giving up a lot of information. They're telling it. They're turning it over. You know, they want to keep the Proud Boys leader in custody for a very long time. Whatever, who cares? He is not by himself. Yeah, the Oath Keepers that were there. Antifa, there was a lot of people that were there. So just because you think you got him, all right, but you still have many other individuals who committed horrendous infractions and they're getting a smack on the wrist. That's deep. So you got to remember that when Donald Trump got into office, he wanted to attack the left so much that he instructed the FBI and the CIA to investigate them instead of investigating extremist white organizations like Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and what have you, okay? So this stuck, all right? And now, excuse me, that's how these people were able to, like, walk right into the Capitol and storm the Senate. Aside from the chick who got shot, like, none of them were killed or even heavily injured. Some of them got hurt, but not as much as the damage that they did to Capitol Police. So even that you attacked a Capitol Police officer, which to me would be an added charge, their sentences are so light, it's not funny, which to me is not giving a good message. And again, I say, let that have been some black folks storming the Capitol, we'd have been shot on sight. So these are the issues I have with this country, all right? Trump was so adamant about sneaky things going on between Hunter Biden and his business dealings with Burisma, the Ukrainian gas company, as well as other illicit behaviors that he had engaged in. So as we move into the Hunter Biden category, let's go back a little bit. Several years ago, a little computer repair shop in Wilmington, Delaware, received Hunter's laptop. He had brought it in for repairs, but he forgot all about it. And then the owner of the shop became very concerned about different things because there was information and pictures that were very disturbing. Apparently, a lot of emails and financial ledgers appeared corrupt. Not as in a corrupt file, but corrupt dealings. There are pictures of Hunter smoking crack, pictures of underage youth naked and doing all kind of indecent things, running through the forest, and a whole lot more. Now, the mainstream media was well aware of this when it first came out. They've been covering it up to this day. The Democrats want to say that it's Russian propaganda or Russian disinformation. Okay? However, according to the Washington Post, Hunter Biden received multi-million dollar deals with the CEFC, which is the Communist China's energy company, CEFC China Energy. Okay, they used to be a Chinese conglomerate. The company was among the 10 largest private companies in China in 2014. Since 2013, the company was listed on the Fortune Global 500 list, holding the rank of 229 in June of 2016. In March of 2020, the company declared bankruptcy, as well as its subsidiaries, CEFC Shanghai International and CEFC Hainan International. The company used the complex web of affiliated companies to facilitate fake deals, inflate trade figures, and obtain bank loans to fuel its aggressive expansion. Hunter's laptop held bank records which indicated that he himself received $1 million retainer plus $3.8 million in consultation fees from CEFC. Joseph Robinette Biden was vice president at the time. In 2015, Hunter was reached out to by an intermediary from the CEFC to set up a meeting between himself and Jian Ming, the founder and chairman of the Chinese firm, according to verified emails from the laptop. Outside reviews also confirmed these emails. He also received $1 million to represent another Chinese businessman who was later charged, along with the United States, in attempting to bribe leaders in Chad and Uganda, Africa. All of this was popping off and known by the media right before the last presidential election, and the media said nothing. On August 7, 2017, the contract with another major Chinese entity, where he received $500,000 just to sign the contract, as well as a monthly stipend of $100,000, with his uncle, James Biden, receiving $65,000 per month. That money came in real fast. The first million hit his account the next day on August 8th. This has been substantiated by two different banks. So far, the Bidens have racked up a good $600 million and counting. There is strong evidence of money laundering, deep political corruption, sex crimes, pedophilia, and more. Uh-oh. I said, okay. Uh-oh. Like, whoa. And this is the president's son. And you better believe that the president is getting money off of these transactions and endeavors, darling. The only reason why Hunter was in that position was because his father was vice president. Now his father is president. That other company is bankrupt, but there are others that he's still working with, and he's still getting all this money. Meanwhile, Boob was a pedophile. There's another video. Y'all got to peep these nasty videos with Joe Biden hugging and touching and groping everything under the sun. They're all over YouTube. Take your time and do it when you feel like it. You know, maybe get a cup of coffee or a cocktail, whatever you need. But it's real. These people use their power for sex, the best way I can say it. And I got to go all the way back to Donald J. Nasty Behind Trump talking about grabbing by the coochie. And I know he didn't say coochie. He used the P word. I'm being nice today. But who tells that to somebody in a conversation? Who says on behalf of women that we like to be grabbed by the coochie. What? Because he has money? What? Let me tell you something. Don't let nobody come and try to grab me, because you're going to draw back a nub. You're going to have broken fingers and all kinds of things going on. I might even bite you. There's no way in the world people can just walk around grabbing other women's vaginas. This is insane. Advocates on my TV. The boy's name was okay. He could say this. And then it wound up that Bush got fired. He wasn't even the one that said it. But this is how it goes when you listen. This is how the game is played. I'm like, whoa. So keep your ears and eyes open for whatever else Hunter has planned. First of all, you got to choose, as far as I'm concerned, when you legally name your child Hunter. Something weird about that. Something's a little, and it always bugs me out. You know what I'm saying? Y'all want to make, white people want to make fun of black people who name their children African names. Well, those names mean things. Okay? Imani's faith, and my name, Amina, secured and protected and honest and faithful. You know, our African names have great meaning. You named your child Hunter. What were you trying to say? Okay? Isn't Sarah Palin's son named Trig, as in Trigger? Not the horse. Like, they name their children these kinds of names. It's just interesting to me. The boy's name is Hunter. I would never name my child Hunter. Even if I was a hunter, maybe I'll name the dog Hunter. I would not name a child Hunter. Who names a child Hunter? The other one's name was Bo. Who names their children dog names? But I'm just like, Hunter, get out of here. That's just, Anyway, stay tuned for that, okay, because there's more coming. If I get more, I'll share it with you. But just stay tuned to that, because there's a lot going on with that. Next, I got to take a deep breath for this one, because this one's getting under my skin, but I'm doing my best. Ooh, I'm trying to work with this one here. Apparently, America continues to show her ugly white ass. And yeah, I said it, because when I look at Ukraine and Russia versus the southern border crisis here, I'm like, WTF. Over 100,000 Ukrainians are due to arrive in the United States very soon. They're being welcomed and applauded for getting out alive and da-da-da-da, and they're going to be given aid and money and all kind of stuff. I'm waiting for some of the country white folks to get their ass on their back and be like, oh, they're going to take our jobs. They're going to take our jobs, because that's what's going to take your jobs. There ain't going to be no Mexican. In any event, I was like, really? They're just being welcomed with open arms, just like the Afghans. Just welcome, welcome, welcome. Y'all can come. Oh, it's terrible what's happening in your country. You can come. Meanwhile, over 20,000 people have been deported back to Haiti and other South American countries under the Biden administration. Remember those folks who were being attacked by the Border Patrol on horseback in Texas? Almost all of them have been deported back to Haiti. One family spent 10 years escaping from Haiti by natural means, meaning no airplane or anything like that. They made it all the way to our border, and they were told that they would be sent to another state, I believe, for processing and stuff like that. Honey, when they got off the plane, they were back in Haiti. After 10 hard years of trying to come to this free land, which is supposed to be an equal opportunity place, blah, blah, blah. Really, they sent them right back. So apparently, we can let in white people. but we will not let in any people who are of any type of Moorish descent or what we would call black. And you have people fighting for this tooth and nail in the government, at Homeland Security and you know, ICE and all of that, da-da-da-da. But we're supposed to just be all lovey-dovey and have all the compassion in the world for the Ukrainian people. Meanwhile, like I said before, we're watching white-on-white crime at its best. We're watching the barbarians at their best. This is what they do. Sorry, this is what happens. We are talking about a non-melanin-dominant individual. We're talking about individuals with a calcified pineal gland that have no spirituality or allegiance to life or anything good or godly, nothing at all. So, yeah, I'll kill you, your grandmother, my grandmother, everybody. No conscience. And so you're pulling at the heartstrings of the rest of the world, especially the United States. Okay, if I see another commercial for giving money to Ukraine, but yet I can't find one commercial about giving money to Haiti, giving money to Guatemala, giving money even to Yemen, giving money to Cameroon, giving money to Nigeria. Nah, not at all. No. Don't see that at all. No empathy, no support for Aboriginal humans in Australia when the white man came in. There was no GoFundMe for that. There was no let's raise money to help the Native Americans that have been displaced off of their lands here in North America. There was no GoFundMe for that. So basically what we're seeing quite clearly, and I hope you see it as clear as I do, we'll save some white folk, but we don't give a damn about no color folk. And that right there is the rub. That right there is beyond having your panties in a bunch. That right there, it makes me so tight. It's unsettling. It's very unsettling. And some time ago, I remember before COVID happened and stuff, and I was talking to my husband about leaving the country. And I was talking about how, you know, I could live in different places. I can. Before Fukushima happened, I could have lived in Japan easily. I like Japan. I like Japan a lot. And I got a lot of respect, and I wasn't ostracized or, you know, looked at the way I maybe looked at here. And I was like, I could live in Australia, but Australia is just like America. So I was like, no. Same thing with South Africa. I was like, I love Africa, but I can't live in South Africa because I would just be so angry about what they're doing to my beautiful African brothers and sisters there. So we began to look at, like, well, where could we go? So I thought about Ghana. You know, I did. I thought about Ghana. I thought about Kenya for a moment, but mainly Ghana. And if it was Nigeria, then that would it would have been like Abuja, or someplace that's really, really nice. Because I have a hard time holding grand allegiance to this nation that, I'm trying to find the words without cussing, that preys upon my people. Everything. I told y'all, I said this before, I'm tired. I'm so tired of seeing the world steal our everything. My husband was on TrackSource earlier today. TrackSource is a website where you get music. And he was talking about, I don't know, I think it was a cracker producer who basically stole African rhythm and everything in his music and how this is what they do. But my problem is you can't go and take all the very best of everything I've contributed to this entire planet and then still call me a nigger. You can't do that. You can't take all of my inventions and surgical procedures and constitutions and other mores and folkways and wonderful ways to behave and being, quote-unquote, civilized, because it is the African who created civilization and then took it on tour. Then, of course, like I say, I've said this before, we get trapped in the last ice age which was the Wormian Ice Age, and we get stuck above the 51st parallel, and everything is frozen, and we can't come down south at all, and we begin to lose pigmentation and turn white. That's white people. That's why I said last week, African people have been on the planet for over 350,000 years. Homo sapiens sapiens. I'm not even talking about all those other things. Okay? Homo sapiens sapiens. Sapien, again, means that you have a mindset that also has a spirituality to it, knowing that you're connected to something greater and that you're connected to all things, natural, you know, animals, plants, each other, okay? That's Homo sapiens sapiens. That's the difference between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens sapiens. Homo erectus just meant that we could stand up and walk. Okay? So when everything that we contribute, whether it's individual, excuse me, meaning just our swag, I can't tell you how many times I've worked in different arenas and you know, whether it's social work, education, entertainment, whatever, but I would always see the melanin recessive individual bite our style, bite it hard, which is how Cleopatra becomes white, Nefertiti all of a sudden becomes white. You know, there's an argument over whether or not ancient Kemetans were African. Hello, you're in North Africa. It's the stupidest question ever. And I always say that ancient Kemet is the granddaughter of Central Africa and South Africa because the Nile flows from south to north. So civilization that develops in southern Central Africa migrates northward by way of the Nile River. You know, she was a golden moment. But at the same time, those people who built all those temples and all those pyramids and universities, because we studied the universe, were melanin-dominant people. Some of them, like I said, as black as my phone. And some of them my complexion, brownish, even cinnamon-like. We come in all colors. We're amazing like that. But yet and still, we're having a debate in 2022 as to who the ancient Kemetans were, when the word Kemet means black land, when the Kamau, the people, means black people, and not black in any derogatory type of way. Black as in the essence of life. So I'm a little tired now. I've been dealing with this a long time. Okay, my mother definitely got me open as a child. So for many, 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 many decades, I have been conscious of who I am and who we are. And when I see us just easily give that up for some fake dream or propaganda or because you've just been inundated that you over-assimilate yourself into being backwards. And yes, I'm being serious. Backwards. We don't even read the way we're supposed to read. We used to read from left to right. Now we read from right to left. We're under the control of a dyslexic, demonic entity, and yet and still we just humming along, singing songs, and going to get that perm. We got to wake up. We have to wake up. Because when I see what's been going on in Haiti, that's when I really get an indication of what could happen here. All you need is the white to flip it. What if? What would we really do? For real, for real. I ain't talking about no BLM BS. I'm talking about if they really flip it, what do we want to do? What will we do? Because as it's even our right to vote is not permanent. It has to be approved, every 9 years. So how serious was this nation in including us in such a thing if it's not permanent? How free are we? And that's why I'm so hard on it. I go so hard on it because I'm watching my identity be stolen. I've watched our faces be sandblasted out and lightened up in the tombs of Kemet, and they replace them with blue eyes. I've seen it. Meanwhile, when you do travel over to, quote, unquote, the Middle East, which is no such place, but when you do go over there, you're going to see yourself. I saw myself in Greece, in Italy, in Sicily, in, give me a second, Israel. I told you about my trip to Israel. That was amazing. So this is a lot of things. We're letting in 100,000 Ukrainians because we're so sorry for them and they're at war. And no, it's because they're white. Because other people are at war and we don't welcome them in here. We won't even let them touch the doorstep. You give them a Mylar blanket, a juice box, an old stale sandwich, and you go right back to where you came from. So much for you trying to flee violence and persecution and rape and crime. So much for you trying to make a better life for your family. Oh, no, 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 you're not welcome. Unless you plan to clean my toilets and sell oranges on the highway, you're not welcome. Unless you plan to, you know, like I said, become every medical assistant, okay, wiping the behinds of white people in nursing homes, oh, then maybe you can stay. Really? And even then, they don't let them stay. They haven't let them stay in a long time. And don't get it twisted, because most people don't understand. President Barack Obama was one of the worst presidents who acted against Haiti and other African countries during his tenure, okay? They used him to continue some serious neo-colonialism throughout our nations and countries. And again, I said this before, the United States preys heavily, P-R-E-Y-S, heavily on Haiti because there are a lot of expensive natural resources there, okay? The United States has deliberately removed leaders who were put in by the people and replaced them with puppets to delay all progress and distract from the barbaric killing and raping going on by the UN military. We've done this. America's done this. Hillary and Bill Clinton have done so much dirt in Haiti. They have a building there. The Haitians can't stand them. They are like the devil in Haiti, still involved with the corruption over there. In 2004, they used the UN with military from other nations to invade Haiti and take over. They went to the palace. They kidnapped the president at that time, who was Jean Aristide, and his wife, and they put him on a plane and dropped their asses off in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa. And that was not the first coup at all. All right? I follow and I've watched a lot of documentaries featuring Ezile Donto. Ezile Donto is an amazing Haitian historian, and she is a lawyer. She was actually the lawyer for Aristide during his presidency. And so I learned a lot about the real in and outs of Haitian politics from her, as well as Baina Bello. Okay, if you want to know about Haiti, check out those two sisters for real. Because there's so much that you don't understand, and then you get somebody like Fecal Matter 45 talking about how Haiti is a shithole country. No, it's not. It's a beautiful, fantastic country. That's why y'all cause so much havoc over there, because you want everything that's there. And do not forget, Haiti gained its independence by beating Napoleon Bonaparte, supposedly one of the greatest military strategists of all time. Whatever, he got his ass whooped by regular country folk with sticks and stones and some good voodoo. Okay? They also beat they beat Napoleon and the French. They also beat the Spanish army. They also beat the British army. This is not known by most people. That is why Europe cannot let it go. They can't accept the defeat. How could they accept the defeat by these little, feeble, frail African enslaved individuals in Haiti? How could they win against bayonets and cannons and all types of weaponry? How could they possibly beat them? They beat the hell out of them, sent them back. And then, of course, you know, France put the embargo on and France put a price on Haiti and said that they had to pay France some millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in order to compensate for their loss of their property, which was the people themselves. And so that is why, another reason why Haiti stayed bankrupt for so long, because whatever money they made, they had to give to France or risk being invaded again by France and slaughtering everybody everywhere and being enslaved again, because this is 1804. 1804, slavery was on and popping. Haiti or Haiti, the Barbados, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, all types of places experienced slavery. Brazil, okay, yes, United States, of course. Trinidad, Tobago, all the islands. So you got to think. It's not just so bad, like, oh, they're impoverished, oh, they must deserve it because they this. No, 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 no. Neocolonialism has basically raped and taken everything out of them, including themselves, and yet they are still alive and thriving as best they can. Okay? The U.S. and Europe continue to have their talons in Haiti, their claws in Haiti. Did you know that Haiti has the world's largest source of iridium? Iridium is a very rare ore, very valuable. Nowhere else in the world is it more plentiful than in Haiti. So now, recently, there's an alliance between the U.S., Mexico, Canada, and Brazil, because Brazil is the second largest economy in the West. The U.N. occupied Haiti until 2017. From 2004 to 2017. While they were there, they had a Haitian Chapter 7 order of shoot to kill. They have depopulated the Haitian people completely. You still have Haitians there, but it's so much less than there were before because they would just kill them in the streets. In July 7th of 2021, the U.S. was found complicit in the assassination of the puppet president, Jean Moulin, that they had put in, because he stated that he was going to stay in office another year. Now, he had a drug problem. I believe he had a cocaine issue. But in any event, they put him in place and had him be like the fake puppet president for a hot minute. And so when they found they couldn't control him anymore, well, they went in to get that behind, okay? They weren't going to have that. So they used 18 Colombian mercenaries along with DEA informants, okay, who came into the country through the Dominican Republic. They entered the home of the president around 1 o'clock in the morning. They had a megaphone outside talking about, this is the DEA, drop all your guns and come out. This was to the president of Haiti. There were also some Blackwater agents that were there, but nobody wants to talk about them. So you have to think about when you've got Colombian mercenaries coming in, because Colombia produces 70% of the world's cocaine, and he had a coke habit. Okay? Every three-letter institution that we have, DEA, FBI, CIA, give me a minute, NSA, Homeland Security, ICE, all of them, they're all indulging over there. They're all aware of what's going on. They all got their hands in this whole thing with the cocaine and what have you. They were all involved in it. So you have to realize that when it comes to Haiti, There's always more to the story than the mainstream media is ever, ever going to tell us. Very, very deep. So I don't like it, and I remember when I was a school teacher and I had my students, and I had, like I told you before, I had the world in my class. I had African-American students, I had Haitian, I had Caribbean, everybody was there, okay? And I also had South American, El Salvador, Colombia, Argentina, so on and so forth. So they used to think that it was an insult if they called each other Haitian or Mexican. And, excuse me, immediately I would rebut this and give them the facts, the truth, and let them know that whenever you call somebody a Haitian, you're actually complimenting them. Because Haiti was the first country to free itself from slavery and colonialism, the first. Nobody else made it happen. We had all types of wars and battles and what have you, but we didn't win. The Native Americans of this land did not win. The Carib of the Caribbean did not win. The Arawak, the Taino, did not win. But the ICN won. And Haiti helped many other countries get their own independence. Haiti helped Cuba. Haiti helped a lot of people. But yet, Haiti gets crapped on. And so, even with regard to the Mexican comment, when they would call each other Mexican and act like it was an insult, I said, again, you're giving someone a compliment. Because Mexico was founded by King Mexico, and because you don't pronounce the X, you pronounce it like G. And so Mexico was founded by melanin-dominant people, and even after Mexi, it was ruled again by Mansa Musa, who they also call Montezuma, and he was the wealthiest human being on the planet. Even to this day, it's like because he had over $300 trillion. So maybe there's someone now that can compete with him, but for eons, he was the wealthiest human being that ever lived. And that was a melanin-dominant man from the Mali Empire of West Africa. So, yes, I say, Mansa Musa became Mansa Zuma. Okay, and now you've got a whole special, I think, on the History Channel, where they're looking for Montezuma's gold. Meanwhile, I said, it's Mansa Musa that had the gold. He used to give gold out like potato chips when he would go on excursions and go across the desert or whatever. He would just give gold out to everybody. He had shoes of gold. His shoes had gold thread in them. His clothes had gold in them. And even to this day, Western African countries like Ghana, rich in gold. They wear gold dust on their faces. They have huge gold jewelry and amazing, beautiful ornaments and what have you in gold. They have door handles and doorknobs and door plates in gold. How fierce we are. So, again, I believe in Sankofa. My husband and I got the Sankofa symbol as well as others on our wedding ring because I'm serious. If you don't know who you've been in history, you ain't going to know where you're going. You'll be lost. You must know who you were. We must know who we were so we can move forward into the future, either to revisit that and become that again or be the next best version of it. That is what we're here to do. And especially us as melanin-dominant people, if we do not wake up, we're not going to be here. These people have a plan to destroy all of us. And they will go down with the ship because that is how maniacal they are. They will be those captains who will go down with those ships just to see us go down, just to see us not be here because they know that we're powerful and that's uncomfortable. Well, I'm sorry. C'est la vie. Because that's just, I keep saying it over and over again. we have got to come together, and we have to do it in every way, not just economically. We got to do it all together, okay, from economics, education, law, politics, everything, everything. And we've got to be serious about it. We have to be serious about it. We're playing around a little bit. You know, we're kind of dilly-dallying, as my mother would say. Well, we cannot afford to dilly-dally, honey. We got to get it together. And I'm hoping Doc will come back, but because I saw him in my queue. But I also want to just say, because we're in the beginning of the age of Aquarius, and I also watched a very powerful, let me see if I can find it, powerful astrological report with my sister girl, Ty Phoenix, and there were a couple of other sisters on there. They were breaking it down. Okay, Doc, yeah, I need you to come back because I want to talk about it. I was like, whoa. I mean, I was like, wow and whoa, okay? Because everything, you know, the astrological world does affect us, and it's very important for us to, how would I say, it's just important for us to be aware of it. Okay, I talk about this a lot. I talked about your chart. I talk about all those kinds of things. I talked about all those things with you, okay? Because as above, so below. It's correspondence. So whatever's going on in the heavens is going to affect us as humans. And we must be very aware and vigilant, okay? We've got to be aware and vigilant. So let me think. Is this the one? I think so. There's another sister named Marie 3 Russe 3 Al, and it's Marie Russo, but on Instagram it's M-A-R-I, the number 3, and then R-O-U-S-S, the number 3, and then A-U, okay? Very powerful sister, and they were going in on this live, and I just happened to catch it, and I was so excited. It was so powerful. I was like, whoa and whoa again. I mean, it was really, 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 really powerful. It's important, I feel, for us to know who we are, y'all, in every way. So, yeah, I talk about knowing our history and knowing our amazing selves. I think that that's just absolutely fantastic. But at the same time, we must also not forget our astrological selves. And because we got a sun sign, a moon sign, we got signs in every planet, we've got signs in every house, there are 12 houses, like, there's a lot. And I think that when we're overly ignorant to it, we get hurt. We get jacked up. We get a little knocked around. We get a little bang, bang. You know, and that doesn't help us. So between her, my girl Ty Phoenix, I was trying to see if I could find it. I'm not able to find it right now. It was so powerful. It was so powerful, y'all. But I think the main page that it was on Marie Russo's page. and she broke it down. You know, they talked about everything. They even talked about Will Smith and Chris Rock, which I deliberately didn't talk about last week. You know, they talked about all the astrological that led to that happening and how Jada is the way that she is. They broke it all the way down. I'm not even going to attempt to repeat it because I know I'll mess it up. But I just thought that I needed to remind you all of that as well. I talk about astrology a lot, and because we're in the beginning of the age of Aquarius, it's really important. So, again, this is not the time to be messing around with folk who you know you're not supposed to be with or you don't really want to be with. Cut it loose. This is also not the time to be mood faking. Not a good time for that, all right? This is not the time to be deceitful and lying and conniving. Not the time. Not the time at all. It's going to blow up all over you, all in your face, everywhere. Don't do it. Always try to seek the moral high ground. You know, revenge may be sweet, but I feel like revenge belongs to the Creator. I don't have to do that. Okay? Excuse me. The laws, the universal laws will play themselves out, so I don't need to necessarily do anything when it comes to that. But, you know, I was talking to a dear friend earlier today, and I was talking about the importance of self-worth and how sometimes we get lost in that, men and women, I feel. Sometimes we just get lost. And if you're with someone who's not appreciating your true self-worth, what are you doing? Because mama always said, I can do bad all by myself. So you don't need to be in relationships that are toxic. They will tear you apart. They will shred you like a black hole. And y'all might think I'm joking, but it's really, really real. Very important. Honor yourself. Love yourself. You know that there are wonderful things on the horizon for you. You know, around like-minded individuals who will assist the process, not the hard way, the smooth way. The smooth way. When people love you and you love people, it's a reciprocal situation. It goes around and around. If you keep it up, it continues to go around and around and be reciprocal. It's a beautiful thing. Similar to love. Love is awesome. But if you don't put any energy into it, it falls flat. Relationships do require work. And, of course, communication. So people are going through some hard times right now because they didn't do the work they should have done a few years ago. A few years ago was when we were supposed to clean up. A few years ago was when you were supposed to either shit or get off the pot, so to speak, part of my vernacular. A few years ago, you were supposed to analyze, figure it out, keep what's good, and get rid of what don't work for you, especially with regard to people. It was a house cleaning time for people. People you know, like, you know what, I ain't going to mess with that person anymore, or I'm not really trying to be that person's friend anymore because they really want a friend to me, you know, or whatever. If you find yourself in a toxic relationship, a toxic intimate relationship, you were supposed to cut it so that you could be in a state of grace and you could honor yourself and love yourself now. So because you didn't get rid of it, it's backing up on you. And I know you don't like it. So, again, I just urge you with my voice to do what you know you need to do for yourself emotionally and spiritually. Cleanse what you need to cleanse. If you need to make amends with people, if you need to apologize to someone, whatever you need to do, I think you need to do it. Okay, you can initiate it if you want to. And it depends, because if you were the one that was really culpable in being negative, then I think it would behoove you to do so. However, if you're with somebody and they are not, like I said, who you're supposed to be with, or they're not reflecting your ideals and how you feel about love and emotion and commitment and all those types of things, then you need to be the one that's honest and be like, okay, this isn't working. And you can tell when you're in something that is light, able to laugh a lot. Laughter is so beautiful and so healing. And when you're able to laugh a lot, you know, genuinely, and when you know you've got concern and regard for each other, you know, that's important. Sometimes we get into situations where we overly enable. Try not to do that. Especially if it's not necessary. And when I say enable, I mean when you're a partner who seems like you just do everything for your mate, but they don't do anything for you. or you're making, you know, everything happen and you feel unappreciated, they're not appreciating you. That's not cool. So the Age of Aquarius is about acknowledgement and honoring yourself, loving yourself, attracting individuals that share similar ideals to you. You know, if you're in a long-term marriage and things are going great, be great, be thankful. Be grateful and thankful and keep it pumping, honey. You know, you've made it. That's a beautiful thing, and congratulations to you. Ha, yes, congratulations to Chuck and Coco on their anniversary. Those are my friends. But I'm just saying, like, you know, anniversaries are important. Being committed to someone and staying there and being, you know, in their corner and being supportive and loving them and taking care of them and vice versa, like I said, reciprocation. That's a gift. That's a blessing. So all of you out there who have that longevity and happiness, ashe, and many, many blessings to you for many more. But if you're with somebody that is tearing you down and ripping you inside out and you feel horrible, you need to go. Or make your escape plan. Because we're not in that space anymore. And so if you won't do it, the universe will. You don't want that. So you take charge so the universe doesn't necessarily have to. You take charge. And I want you to really, you know, let that marinate. Ponder on that for a few days if you need to. Seriously, because only you know. I'm speaking to a lot of people here. So only you individually know if what I'm saying applies to you. If it doesn't, cool. But my goal is for everyone to be happy. My goal is for us to achieve enlightenment. And I know that all great things are achieved in a light heart. When your heart is light, beautiful, wonderful things can happen for you. When your heart is heavy, oh, my God. It's not as easy. So stay light. Stay light. I'm looking for Doc. I don't see him. He was coming back. I'm like, Alamo, where you at? Because I'm almost over. I'm almost over. I hope you all have enjoyed the show tonight. Give me a minute. Yeah, I hope you all have enjoyed tonight's program. Definitely, again, I'm going to go back on that huggy wuggy mess. Y'all, please, if you, as an adult, look at it, it's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. I'm glad that when we were little kids, nothing like that came out, because I would have had nightmares forever. I definitely would have had nightmares forever. I know there was another case of a parent who, the little boy tried to climb up to his mother's bedroom window because that's what Huggy Wuggy said to do. You know, Huggy Wuggy also promotes, like I said, the killing of parents. Hopefully none of the children will take that seriously. But what type of cartoon for a child advocates for that? And it is a child cartoon because it really isn't, there's nothing deep going on, you know. It's not that thought-provoking, but it's scary. And it's demonic, I guess I could say. Very bad. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I was like, to the point where I was like, oh, I'm happy I don't have a 4-year-old. I don't even want a 10-year-old to watch it. You know, a lot of children between, come on, how impressionable they are. Like this thing is not good. It's not good, fam. Mm-mm. It needs to be removed. And that's why I'm going to say it again. Stop giving your phones and tablets to your children. Please. Even the mother that I quoted earlier, she told me she keeps track of what's on his tablet and what's on his phone. He's 8. Why does he have a phone and he's 8? Let me tell y'all real quick. Y'all remember back in the day? We were younger. We're teenagers. We're on the phone all the time. We're just on the phone. The phone is like a lifeline, and we are on the phone all the time. Did I ever get my own phone line in my mother's house? No. What I did was I bought the long double jack first, okay? Remember, we put the jack in the wall. Double jack, and I bought like a 50-foot cord, and I bought myself a cheap phone, and I hooked that up into my parents' bedroom because the phone jack was in their bedroom only. That was the only jack on the second floor of the house. So I ran the cord all the way from the master suite all the way to my bedroom so that I had the convenience of having my phone in my room but not taking their phone. That was as deep as it got, y'all. And that was so I could talk on the phone, talk to my boyfriend, talk to all my friends, la 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 la, whatever. I took it upon myself to buy the 50-foot cord and the double jack and the little dinky phone and make it happen for myself. So I found that interesting when this woman had given her son, who was 8 years old, a cell phone. You can't even spell right. 8? Come on, fam. Oh, I see Reverend. Okay, let me see. I'm going to open up his line and put my speakerphone on. Reverend, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am very saddened. Just came from a memorial. Young lady, 15, 16 years old, got stabbed Friday. Another young lady got stabbed, and one young girl passed away. And there's a memorial set up in Mount Vernon, New York, on her behalf. And one little girl was in the hospital, another little girl in the hospital, and an older lady got hurt as well. And one young lady was upset, and she was stabbing these people 14, 15 times individually. And Pops, there was a celebration for the Mount Vernon High School basketball team, made All-State, and somehow a big fight broke out, and somehow this little young girl ran on the other side. The cops was running up after the kids on the other side, and the little girl got killed, and it was over a boy. It was over a boy. It was so senseless, and I just didn't understand why in broad daylight, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, no adults could have helped her. My partner went downstairs to get some coffee. He said, the cops are chasing the kids. So I didn't make no mind of it. I said, the kids gather together and act mischievous, and the cops chased them. Then to come to find out later on, young girl went to the hospital, and later on she succumbed to her situation. I'm just really saddened by the number of killings of young people, killing young people over this country. And I'm saddened because it's a waste on both ends. There's no winners. You know what I'm saying? The young person that killed a person and going to spend the rest of their life in jail at 15 and 16 years old, 13 and 14, 11, their life is gone. And we as a people, we got so many different kinds of enemies against us in this country trying to stagnate us. Dr. Boyce Watkins and Dr. Claude Anderson found 85 laws in the Constitution and criminal and state and federal laws that are specifically guided to destroy economically, socially, and politically the black community. So I'm saying to myself, our future is our young people. And I just don't understand what's going on, the anger. You know, how did a little girl like that get so angry that she can stab that many people within the course of 20 to 30 minutes? You understand what I'm saying? How can she be so angry over a boy? It's more than just a boy. It's something else going on. And if we don't get these kids into counseling, if we don't get some kind of conflict resolution programs, my pastor started a conflict resolution for the kids in our community. And we started doing some plays with different scenarios of conflict that happens amongst young people, and we let them play out the different kinds of resolutions that can come on within the play, and that was giving them some kind of coping skills to circumvent things from getting to a level where it's getting crazy. I watched, and then on top of that, I'm watching this YouTube thing called This Is Entertainment. And what they're doing is they just, young kids, just videotaping various types of fights. Young people just fighting. A young person just walk up to a young person in the class and just knock the living hell out of the child. And they call that entertainment. Another girl grabs another girl, and she's beating her to a pulp for 15, 20 minutes. And the kids consider this entertainment. They're videotaping this. People, this society, America, is a very violent society. It's a very ignorant society. And they have covered up for so many years their violence against our communities. And I do feel not only the slave master mentality has been the remnants of what we have experienced, but I feel this anger, this violence comes from the fact that we come up in a violent society. The civil rights movement, people, was violent. I lived it. I walked through the school. I walked to the school, an integrated school in South Carolina. I walked through the line of soldiers and police officers while adult white people was calling me nigger and throwing bottles and things at me and trying to grab me, and I had to pull, and somebody had to pull me away from this lady. She tried to grab me out the line and beat the hell out of me. And I was only 8 years old, and I'm supposed to go sit down and learn something. Okay, I'm supposed to be in the best school district ever, a white school district. I'm just saying that, don't you understand? Now they've seen it happening, and unfortunately, they've seen this kind of violence happening now. It's being revealed in Ukraine. Don't you know that kind of violence will have an effect on a child? And that's why I feel we live in a violent society, because it's the society was based on violence, and it continues to be based on violence, even though they cover up and pretend it's a democracy, everybody's loving everybody, and we're all together. A judge, Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson gets nominated, and all kumbaya, my lord, and it's just a continuous derivative of violence. Will Smith smacks Chris Rock the hell out of him. You know, some people saying it's stage, but still, that's violence. That's what the kids see. That's what they grow up into. The society is built on violence, and that's why we have a violent children. There's no way for that little girl to get so mad at those other little girls over a boy, over dating a boy. They're only 15 and 16. They don't even know what love is. So they can't tell me they love him. Okay, maybe he's tall, he's light-skinned, they think he's the cutest thing ever walked on the grid, but that's their mentality, because they're not getting love at home, they're not getting their parents are not giving them love, their fathers are not there. There's a whole bunch of disparities in the home, but I'm saying on top of the disparities at the home, the society is in despair. The society is messed up. The violence in America has never been dealt with on a socialized level. It's always been cover up and pretending that there is some kind of resolution. There is not. There's continuous attack on the black and brown and red and yellow communities. There's a continuous psychological attack on us. They were saying the other day, which is a God honest truth. They said, if you really want to curtail and stop the violence in America, start arresting white people. That is a fact. That is a fact. People, the statistics show 44% of all crimes. First of all, there's 260-something million white people. There's only 40-something million black people. There's no way for us to be over them in terms of numbers of anything, Right. Even eating popcorn, they're going to have more numbers higher than us anyway. But nevertheless, they know that the FBI statistics is on the Google. You can Google crime statistics, FBI stats, and you'll get the numbers. 40-something percent of crimes are committed by white people. They represent 1% of the populace that's incarcerated. The other 20-something percent is people of color, represent the crime level, but we represent, African Americans represent 90-something percent of those incarcerated. That tells you a good 35 to 40% of those black people are innocent, because there's no way for them to keep arresting all of us and not arresting them, and then the perpetual numbers is discombobulated, because they're arresting the wrong people at the wrong time. And that's continuous. That is a continuous, that what they call it, that'll continue, that's violence, that's abuse. And it's continuing, and there's no way for us to bring our kids under any kind of moral, ethical, humanitarian concept if we don't curtail some of this external violence. Police officers are violent. Fire department people are violent. FBI is violent. The soldiers are violent. The judges are violent. The prosecutors are violent. When a person gives a child, I heard a child stole a quarter in some state out there, out west. The prosecutor was giving the boy 118 years.
Yep.
Ain't nobody said nothing. So it's a violent society. We got to stop it. I'm just so upset. We got to stop it. These are young kids. You know, they're killing each other. And we as a black people, we as a people in this country, we need not kill each other. We have to find some way to love each other, because we got too many enemies trying to kill us anyway. It's a setup, people. Our children are set up to do these things, and I suggest that we find a way to get community centers or something where we can get these kids counseling, get them some kind of, show them some kind of parenting, some kind of love or something to stop this. And I see Dr. Winborn is there now.
I see him. I'm going to open his line. I remembered. Well, let me open his line first. All right. Wait a minute. Yes.
Alamo.
973. Oh, Alamo. You know what I mean?
You better say it.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you came in, Doc.
Yes. Well, you know, I just got back a couple hours ago, and I haven't got any rest. I laid down for like 2 minutes, and the phone started ringing, and it hasn't stopped. I've sat here in my chair, and I've been here ever since. But
nice. I want to congratulate you on your excursion.
Well, thank you. That was one of the first diplomatic missions that the Federation went on for this year, this particular council, and it was a great success. The reports are constantly coming in. The videos are constantly coming in. It was really great. And to top it all off, we got to an opportunity to make the Federation stronger, and I got a chance to spend some time with my daughter being out. So it was a really, really good, very, very busy. And a lot going on while I was gone, and there's a lot going on now. So we're still trying to catch up, but we wanted to come in here and just to show our support. But I saw Mr. Electric; he was going at it. So I don't want to steal the thunder and plug him back in.
Yeah, he was talking about a recent incident that occurred with a young girl who apparently was stabbing another young girl over a boy, and then the young girl succumbed to her wounds, and she died. And now this young child has this, you know, murder charge for damn near nothing.
And I
concur with you, Reverend. Like, one thing I know,
queen,
and that I want
she went on to, and the little girl that stabbed these people went on Facebook afterwards and bragged about it. That's why I say something wrong. Something wrong.
Oh, yeah,
something
is wrong. But then again, don't forget, when social media was created, okay, the ego of individuals blew up significantly, because now I can reach the world. I can do this. I can do that. But at the same time, where's your real sense of self-esteem? Where's your morality? Where are your values? Those types of things. So, Reverend, I just text you, you know, because, you know, I used to go into schools a lot when I was teaching and even before I was teaching. I would go into schools and I would speak and do assemblies and stuff with the students, you know, about things that we're talking about right now. I would talk to them about, you know, don't let social media rule your life. Don't take it seriously either. You know, if you can't handle it, turn it off. It's okay. You don't have to have a social media account. It's okay. You know, I had a situation with a young girl one time who, you know, I had told her mother, I don't think that she should be on Facebook. I think she's too young. But her mother was like, well, you know, it's da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, okay. And then, of course, you know, a bullying incident came, and the girl was getting bullied, and she was feeling badly and stuff like that. And then the mother was like, okay, we're going to delete your account. I was like, I told you that in the beginning, but we got to live and learn. But I did tell you, like, it's too much. And so with these young people, because so much of what they plug into and so much of what they watch and participate in is immoral in a big way. It's immoral.
And they can't handle
them, you know, going up to another classmate and smacking the living daylights out of another classmate and fighting and calling that entertainment. No, it's not, because, number one, nobody's getting paid. This is not WWF. Calm down. And y'all going to catch a case. Right, mama. You get the right parent. All right? You're going to catch a case. So I would like to be able to do that again, more so. I would love to be able to come back into schools where our children are prevalent and when speaking with them about ways to be and what they're supposed to be doing in lieu of what they're doing or what they think they should be doing. Like, it's wrong. What is going on is just so backwards and crazy. And that's what I said when I was talking about the Huggy Wuggy cartoon and the fact that there's this crazy-looking monster thing, but little babies are watching this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's telling the children to kill their parents.
And do you see what they do with babies now on these TikToks? They grab them and they knock them down, and the babies start crying, and the people are laughing like that's a joke. Abuse.
I haven't seen that.
Right on the video. I mean, they're abusing these children. They got these monsters, like you say, will pop up. The child is, like, playing and not paying no attention. I'm talking about a one-year-old kid. I'm not talking about no 3-, 4-, 5-year-old kid. I'm talking about a one-year-old kid. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. they just have a monster pop up on the back of the kid, and the kid is totally frightened. Anybody would be frightened when something pop up on your back like that. You're not expecting it. But think of what it is like for a child of that age. People are taking children and TikTok, and they're throwing them up high as they can, and then they're catching them, you know, and then or sometimes they'll flip them over on a couch or a bed, flip them about 3 or 4 times. I'm talking about 1 year old kids, and they think this is, and these people call this entertainment, TikTok entertainment, but it's damaging.
There was a brother here that was arrested and being charged for murder of his 3-month-old son. Now, apparently, he called 911. He was trying to revive the baby and so on and so forth. But the coroner ruled it a homicide because they said that the child died of blunt trauma.
Exactly.
To the head. Exactly. Now, that could happen. You act like you think you're playing, okay, and you flip the child. If the baby hits the wall or the mm-hmm. floor, the tabletop, too hard, that's
right.
it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh, I mean, but people ask me. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing about it is,
it's going to take more than prayer. It's going to take more than prayer.
They consider this entertainment. They consider this they're doing something important. I don't know the hell they think they're doing. They're damaging the child, number one. I was coming through my building. The little girl, mother, was on the other side of the office. Now, I don't understand what you can be doing in an office that your child can't sit on your lap. Why you interviewing, whatever you're doing. I don't understand the importance of what the mother could do. The other girl, like she was 14 or something, was watching a little one-year-old baby, and the baby was just totally petrified. I mean, she was crying at the top of her lungs. So I said to the young girl, I said, you know, maybe you should try to give her Bobo or give her some milk or something. She said, no, ain't nothing wrong with her. Her mother's inside the office there, and she wants her mother. So I said, you can't. I said, let me tell you something. That's trauma. That's a traumatic
yes.
experience for this child. You can't allow this child to just sit here because she doesn't understand why all of a sudden her mother's inside her mother's behind a door. The door is locked. She or whatever. She can't, to her understanding. I said, she
right.
don't understand why her mother's there. I said, at least knock on the door. Let her mother, let her know she's all right. Let her mother
right.
say something to her.
Yeah,
her mom's, you know,
face and mommy be like, hi, baby, I'll be
right.
with you in just a minute. I love you, whatever, la, la, la.
Yeah,
like,
but I don't understand. You know, my thing is, what in the hell could you be doing that? Your child can't sit on your lap. I mean, what's so important that you know what I'm saying? And so after I raised Cain for like 5, 10 minutes, the little girl finally, you know, knocked on the door. The mother came out, and I just said, you know, you should let the child know where you at. She doesn't understand this. You know,
mm-hmm.
she probably never experienced you going behind a door. Not for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and she not have no contact with you. That child will understand that. You understand what I'm saying? Probably different if you're at home. It's probably a little different scenario, but I'm just saying for her to be in that environment and not know what's going on with her mother, it's a traumatic experience for her. So, you know, young people, bad parenting. Young people, I'm just saying the point blank. Y'all ain't got no parenting skills. I don't know who.
So the child won't be able to trust.
Right.
If you're a child and you don't trust,
like, oh well, you know, she's gonna cry, so let her cry, let her do what she wanna do, no big deal. And I mean, she's in the office building, and I mean, she crying so loud, you can hear. I heard her from the, I'm on the sixth floor. I heard her from the first floor coming up the elevator.
Wow.
That's how loud she was screaming. And this is a child, 1 year old child, so you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying to these people, I'm saying to her, you know, because it got to the point. Where sometimes, you know, you don't want people to want to say nothing because I don't want to get involved and get myself screwed out. But I said, no, I said, let's explain something. And I know she was 14, 15, or whatever she was, and I know she don't understand the whole concept. But I said, get this little girl's mother. And then she started, I knocked on the door, and I said, yeah, let your child know what's going on. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And, oh,
yeah.
she knows, that's how she is. She just like that. She think, I ain't dying, you know. And then she gets the child inside the place. But I'm just saying, all that unnecessary trauma and drama for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nothing at all. But these people today, these young people today, I you know, a lot of them having babies because they you know, they seeking love in all the wrong places. And then when the thing don't work out,
most of them got babies, didn't protect themselves while they were having sex, and they didn't want the. They feel like they're going to go to hell if they have an abortion, so they're going to have a child that they really don't want. And to me, that's the worst. That's the worst when you have a child that you didn't want, and that child will know that you didn't want it.
That's sad. There you go.
You know what I mean? And then the child becomes the burden instead of the joy and the gift.
And then we wonder why some people grow up to walk into the restaurant and just shoot every damn body. We wonder why
right.
somebody walks down the elevator or goes down the stairs in the subway and just kick a hammer and bust somebody in the head. We wonder why some
mm-hmm.
man walking buck naked on the platform of the train and throwing and pushing people over into the train.
Over,
we wonder why
yeah.
people walking around talking to themselves and arguing with themselves and going through all kind of changes. We wonder why we have these levels of psychosis and these mental conditions that they're walking around in. Oh, I think we can go back and check some parenting situations. We can check some family situations, and I guarantee you a lot of these people come from a dysfunctional situation and it went too far. The little girl that stabbed these people, it's something deeper than that. I tell people something. Yes, yeah. People are gonna say it's demonic, it's evil, it's the devil. Yes, but the devil got there through some other kind of means. He didn't just get there like flip, flam, bam. It's some other mechanism that helped him get to this little child that she was so angry. Forget the boy. The boy is the excuse. The anger come not just for the boy. She cannot get that angry over no boy. Not stab somebody 14 times, three different
mm-hmm.
people. 14 times, one person, 12 times, the other person. You sitting there just stabbing, and you're stabbing so quick, ain't nobody got to you to stop you. So there's something else going on with that little girl, and then she gets on Facebook or whatever she goes social media, and then she's saying, you know, yeah, blah 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 blah. And she's bragging about it. So there's something going on with these children. There's something deeper. Dig it. And now the school chancellor is talking. Everybody now is talking. Everybody named Mama is talking today. All the politicians and everybody. But y'all not putting no money behind psychological evaluation, analysis, and assistance, and therapy, and help. These children need, did you ministers and all these churches, y'all need to open up some kind of little therapy program. You need to have group conversations with these young girls, separate from these young boys. Women need to step up and talk to these young girls. Men need to
this
step up
I
and
text,
talk to these young
girls.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, because that's the work I've been doing. I've done that work since I came out of college. Like, that's my lane. Because I'm like, okay, I will not have you all rambunctious and crazy in the world. Like, you got to get a hold of yourself. Like I said, my very first social work assignment was with the Juvenile Delinquent Department in Philadelphia. Mm. And I'm dealing with my youngest offender was 6 years old because he had taken the money out of the Pac-Man machine because the lock was broken on the part where you put the money. And so he got caught taking the quarters out. And I'm like, really? Y'all gave him time? Are we serious? So that was when that was a very eye-opening experience for me as a young melanin-dominant female coming out of college, doing my internship, and I have a boy who is in juvenile detention at 6 years old because
and
he took
help.
The change out of a Pac-Man machine that wasn't locked.
And the environment is not helpful. The environment is there's nothing going on in that environment. There's nothing happening. And when you get into those environments, that's why I left, because when you get into those environments and you try to be a force against the evil, you try to help resolve the psychological, the physiological, and all the things that's going on. And you start to, when I started, I worked in drug treatment programs when I started out, mental health community centers and walk-in clinics and all that kind of business in the low-income area, South Bronx and Harlem. And when I was helping the people and I was getting to them resolved, they said, oh, Robinson, you know, we're going to put you over here. You know, one lady told me in a drug treatment program, it was a sister. She said, Robinson, let me tell you something, baby. She said, I need some acids and some beds in order for me to make my money. Okay, she was the executive director of a drug treatment program in Harlem. And she made it clear to me the fact that the recidivism rate was going down because I was helping some brothers and sisters to stay off of drugs and alcoholism and getting their stuff together and getting back in jobs, which I thought that was my function, that was my reason for being there, but quite obviously that was not. So the sister saw the stats going down in terms of people, the recidivism. She saw the stats going down, people wasn't coming back, and she said, and she saw it with me, and she approached me and she said, listen, let me explain something to you, baby. This is my job. I make my money from having, excuse my French, from having behind sitting on these beds, and that's how I make my money, and we're not going to deal with, you ain't going to mess that up for me. So either you going to play along with the game, or you just going, we're going to get rid of you. And so I got rid of myself, so I want to have that on my resume, you know what I'm saying? I just quit. But everywhere I went, drug treatment, mental health cases, I when I started off in the psychological evaluation, basically just trying to help from the stats on the lower level, it was just like, you know, people on the high level, they were just like letting people come in and get all kind of drugs because they wanted to get social security disability as opposed to get on welfare.
Right.
It was more money and it was less requirements on Social Security disability, so everybody wanted to get on that back in the 80s. So I'm like, you know what? This is no reason for you to start drugging. And then all these experimental drugs were coming in, the 70s and 80s, all these experimental drugs, and they figure, okay, these people want to get into this program because of finances. We're going to use them and to make money, you know, to make money for our programs, because if your program was doing large numbers of research and development and all this stuff, you were able to open up new wings and new facilities and get all this money from Helping Hospital Corporation. It was going mad. It was going crazy. And so they were using people as guinea pigs in the first place. But the fact that they were volunteering because of this opportunity to get this money, disability, you know, Social Security disability check, as opposed to a welfare check. We had to go back then, welfare to work. You had to go find a job, and there was all these requirements, certifications, and you didn't have that with the other program. So they took advantage of the people. They know what people was. People came in there, you know, pretending
to be doing
it
again because the Biden administration wants to legalize people being able to go to a crack house and shoot up.
Mayor.
And so they're going to do it again. Those people
are
going to be ODing and stuff. Don't know why I want to talk about it, but people have been ODing and everything. You know,
Mayor
this is the way to.
That Mayor de Blasio, before he left, he opened up crack dens ran by the city. He got programs that you can come and get your crack, come get your heroin. You know, we're going to come get your opioids. He said, you know what? Why, if since it's out here already, let's just control it. Let's have these dens, these facilities where people can go and they can get crack all night long. They can get heroin all night long. They can get methamphetamines, crystal meth all night long. I don't know if Eric Adams, you know, I don't know whether he, you know, counseled out the programs or whether he going along with the deal. But before de Blasio left, that's what he decided to do. He's going to have all these drug treatment programs convert from treatment to come on, let's get high, come on, have a good time. The thing about the drug treatment programs that I worked in, they right there in the heart of the drug center. So these people get their check during the month. They take the controlled drug. Okay, and then they go out and they buy their crack, they buy their heroin, they buy their methamphetamines and their crystal meth and everything else out in the street. So they're getting double doses of high. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, so this is a part of the recidivism rate. This is a part of continuing these programs. They continuously, they ask us a question one day, which is not my means. I don't feel me as a person and from the treatment side of the process had the means to sell you whether or not if heroin is good or bad. But anyway, they threw the question out there to us. And they didn't allow you not to answer because they called you they call everybody. I think it should have been a voluntary question. But nevertheless, they ask us, is heroin good or bad? So I stated, my patients said it's bad because it's not controlling their condition or their cravings or their need for it. All it's doing is holding them on to the next high.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like it's just a legal, like my patients were saying, it's a legal high. I can get high over here. Hold me up for the day, and then at late at night I got to go to the guy on the corner and still get some heroin anyway, because I need to get high. And most of the people that really quit, they had to go cold turkey and suffer for days on end, and the beds were so wet it's like if water just rained into the doggone bedroom. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying I didn't say me. I said as far as the statistics of the patients that I've seen over a period of time, they all concluded that there is no resolution with the help the what's that damn thing called again? What's the damn treatment thing? The thing for heroin, the drug
methadone clinic.
Methadone, right. I said no. They're saying the methadone is not circumventing them from the usage. It's just holding them on until the next hit, and it's not circumventing them from cravings. Or it's not stopping them from needing it. It's just a part of the whole routine of getting high every day. So it's not changing nothing. So I said the patients are saying, and she said, Mr. Robinson, if you don't believe in something that you're doing, why are you here? I'm like, well, you know, you asking the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? And this is the control. This is how they talk about control environment. This is the control. This is how they control all of us. They made me understand if I don't shut the hell up.
Oh, yeah.
And go along with the DNA. My behind mm-hmm. is out. You understand what I'm saying? And nobody want to be on unemployment line. So you go along with the deal. But I got tired of going along with the deal to go along with the deal to go along with the deal when you're wrong. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And that's it. And I'm not going to participate in so many people just dying. Most of the people that lead the drug treatment programs, they leave in the body bag. People yep. don't know this, and it's not talked about, but that's
why
how they leave.
Know.
Nobody's leaving.
It's terrible.
All these, yeah, they do these seven steps. They do these seven steps, 12 steps.
We're using social work as a means of another stream of income for the nation. So
exactly.
people's dysfunction gets monetized.
However you're
jacked up. Oh, if you die, oops, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And then keep it moving.
You know how they go with these lavish graduation programs, and they give you all these, they give them these little, what you call them, little tokens or something, right? Seven-step, 12-step, and you get, right, you get all these tokens that you completed step one, step two, step three, step four, step seven, and you get these tokens at the end of the program, and you graduate, and you go on to your so-called life that you're supposed to have mm-hmm. on the outside. But 9 times out of 10, even with all of them graduation programs that we had, and some people graduated 10, 15, 20 times, I was told the average drug addict has to drop 7 times. They told us they had to drop 7 times before they really
wow.
get off drugs. Nobody that I knew from the years that I've worked there dropped 7 times and got up and said, okay, this is number 7. Now I'm going to go out and get clean and change my life. They dropped dead.
Mm-hmm.
After the 7th time, the 12th time, they dropped dead. Okay? There was nobody that I knew. Maybe somebody else knows somebody. I don't know. But other than people coming into a treatment program and just kicking everything, I mean, forget about the methadone, forget about everything, and just cold turkey, quit. 9 times out of 10, those brothers and sisters survive the situation and go on. But people that stay on the treatment, it's like going under treatment for cancer, going into radiation and all that stuff. It's a certain amount of time, and it's over. But there's an end to it, and it's death. You know what I'm saying? So over the period of years, you just see people come in, go through the motions, and you all go through the motions, and I just got tired because every time you just hear, oh, yeah, such and such a person went to the hospital, emergency, code
mm-hmm.
99, boom, she's gone, he's gone, he's gone. And so I'm saying this is no success. People leaving here by death,
uh-oh.
That's no success. You know, but them fools don't understand this too. There's an extended amount of time that you're talking about. You want butts on the beds, but at the same token, they're dying. Okay, so what that said to you for in terms of your rate of participants in your program, eventually that's going to die as well. And do you have a conscience, ma'am, or everything is money? You have
right.
any kind of conscience, you know? And it's crazy. And most of the people, and to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10, most drug treatment executive directors, directors, assistant directors, supervisors, most of them have been already in treatment themselves. They're so-called success stories. A lot of them, you know, they found their way out of the
mm-hmm.
situation, and they come back, and they go to school, or they went to jail, and they went to school and got a degree, whatever, and then they come back and they service. You know, they serve, they become administrators and counselors and case managers and whatever. And they service the community, you know, at that point. But the large majority of the people, very unsuccessful. And like most of the people just die and that's it. You know what I'm saying? That's the end result
yep.
of it. And at a certain point, you be there long enough, 5 years, 10 years, 6 years, 3 years, you just see it. And you just know this is the end results. And you get to the point where you say, you know what? What is my purpose here? You know, other than making money, what is my purpose? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you come to end of Spain. And that's what I'm saying about the continuous violence in America, the continuous violence with the children, the continuous violence violence is all around us. It's just violent. It is a violent society, and then they're running all over the damn world talking about they trying to free every damn body and save democracy and save freedom and save peace and love. And you know, and most of these people, like Putin and all these guys they going over there fighting against, they saying, how in the hell the Chinese man, the Tola Khomeini, all of these people and all of these violent societies are saying to America, shut the hell up. You're the most, you just as violent as we are. You're not, you know, you're pretending that the whole of Khomeini told them, how in the hell you gonna say something to me when a black man can't go to the grocery store and to his home without a police officer killing him? Now, where did he get that information from, America? How did he find out that situation? Okay, so you've been revealed, and the reason we have the people don't understand why we have all this violence is because the people running around talking about they trying to create peace is violent, and the people who are violent is saying, excuse the hell with y'all, you know y'all have no right to talk. Putin said, what in the hell y'all talking to me about? Okay, y'all the same people like me, y'all can't tell me nothing. If he had somebody that really was a society of nonviolence, a society that really had control of violence, then he would be a different story. But he looking at them saying, what in the hell y'all talking to me for? Y'all don't have the right to talk to me. And he gets more violent because the violent people is talking to him. So he's like, okay, what y'all going to do? Let's settle this like we know we're going to settle it. So it's just a tremendous amount of violence all over the world. And the children are in the mix, and the children are getting violent, and we're going to have to come together and stop this craziness.
Yep. We got to be accountable, you know, and some stuff we just going to have to shut down, and it's going to be okay. Because some stuff we done got ourselves into is not working for us. You know, really have a lot of stuff. We got to really come out of some of this other stuff. It's a lot of stuff that's just straight garbage. You know, and you got parents all into it, so the children do it, like, mm-mm, cut it out. You got to do some serious reversals and rewinding. Like, no, mm-mm, you know. So I'm sorry to hear that. That definitely touched me. I know our children are our tomorrow, and so we need them to be sane and strong so that we can forge ahead. So we got our work cut out for us. We're going to make it happen. You know, check your phone, and then we'll talk about that later. But
okay.
Let's see.
All right.
Yeah. All right. It is 9:22.
Okay.
Beautiful, wonderful
man.
Family.
Oh, wow.
Good. We're getting ready to say night. Night. Thank you, Doc,
food.
And thank you, Reverend, for coming on.
This one.
Again.
We might have some food stamps to pay for this.
You're hilarious. But everybody's still in the queue, so ain't nobody going nowhere. I'm like, I see everybody with us. Thank you, Sister Dawn, KK, Barbara and Chris, like my regulars, Renee, everybody, love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. My wonderful husband, thank you for tuning in. He's so supportive. I always plug him with SoundCloud. He's DJ Pitch Control on SoundCloud, PYTCHCONTROLL. Go on there and get your life. Beautiful music for a beautiful soul. Just feel good, y'all. Let's continue to promote happiness and joy. Let's continue to promote and achieve knowledge of self, to know just who we are and how fantastic we are, so that when they steal it and then regurgitate it back to you, you don't think it's something new. It's not. It's you repackaged. So let's dig down deep, y'all. We got to really hold on to each other, hold on to who and what we really are. And we need to support each other on a global level, you know, which is why I'm really excited for the work that Dr. Winborn is doing as the president of the Ethiopian World Federation. That event that they just had was amazing. And I'm like, keep up the good work and let's continue to build bridges and come together. He met with the Lakota Nation. I thought that was absolutely beautiful. And don't forget, so many of us are Native American, and they lied and told you that you just came straight from Africa at that time. You didn't. You've been here. And if you study us long enough, you'll begin to see, even in facial structure, cheekbones, noses, lips, you'll see the difference between the Native American African and the African American. You'll see the difference. But do your work, Okay, check out Dr. David Imhotep, The First Americans Were African. Check out When Rocks Cry Out by Horace Butler. Like, check out They Came Before Columbus by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima. Check out all the work that was done by Renoko Rashidi. We've got some serious, serious scholars who have made it their life's work to do this research and to empower us, to let us know who we really are. Y'all, do your work. Buy the books. Read the books. Read them with your family, even. Read them with your children. That's why I say, turn the TV off. Read books, not even e-books, real books with pages that you can turn. Okay? Let's make it happen. Let's get it popping, y'all. We can make this work. All right? We have work to do. We can do it. All right? Stay amazing. Again, happy birthday to all the Aries. Happy birthday to my girl Cherie and to my girl Karen, whose birthdays are today, and all the other Aries. I salute you and celebrate you. Spring is here. It's time for rebirth. It's time for growth. It's time. So not just the plants and the trees, but also for us as humans, okay? Stay brilliant and fantastic, all right? And be nice to strangers. Please protect the elderly and the babies. Again, check out this huggy-wuggy nonsense and make sure your children are participating in it and spread the word, okay? And again, maybe we need to start writing some letters to the White House and to Congress and the Senate about just how wild and how racist this whole thing is that they're doing by bringing 100,000 Ukrainians over. They brought over hundreds of thousands of Afghans, but yet and still, you just deported 20,000 Africans, 20,000 Haitian people. Something wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. So, you know, let's get it in gear. Have a wonderful week ahead, everybody. Be amazing and fantastic in all that you do. And don't sweat the small stuff. You know, handle your handle. Do what you need to do. Real talk. Do what you need to do for yourself and for your family. And just like I said, keep a light heart. Okay, y'all? Love you. Stay amazing and be blessed. One love. Ashe.